The Radio Friends with Paul Pepper podcast is supported on KBIA by Moberly Regional Medical Center. From the flu to more serious health issues, the ER team at Moberly Regional has the knowledge and care to handle all types of injuries and illnesses. When you have an emergency, don't delay. Trust the ER team at Moberly Regional Medical Center at 1515 Union Avenue and at MoberlyHospital.com.
Welcome to Radio Friends. This is Friday. It's July the 6th. We've got two topics today. Bruce Cox, the Museum of Art and Archaeology, and we're going to talk about our garden with Tim Reinbott. But let's start, first of all, with Bruce Cox. Good to have you here,
Thank
Bruce.
You, Paul. Good
and
to see
you. And you have a couple of events or exhibits that you want to talk about?
We have two exhibits this summer that are quite unusual. One is called Cityscapes, and it is taking photojournalist approach to art, where the artwork actually looks like a photograph, but it's not. It's silkscreen art that's done by layers, and the detail on it is incredible. You have to keep continually telling yourself, I'm not looking at a photograph.
Really?
Yeah, it's just amazing.
And it's called what?
Cityscapes.
Cityscapes.
Cityscapes. They're all, it's a small exhibition, but there's about 12, I believe, different prints to look at, and they're all dealing with buildings.
Okay.
But just incredible detail.
Yeah. And then the next one that you have?
The next one is called, I have to read this one, Portraiture, Power, and Propaganda on Ancient Coins.
Where's the propaganda come in on ancient coin?
In ancient Greek and Roman world, many times they didn't believe in putting someone's image on a coin. Mm-hmm. So they would it would be more of a symbolic image. And so it's the propaganda that goes with the image and the story behind the image and what they're trying to portray.
Okay.
It's all about power.
But that sounds like very interesting.
It is. It's very interesting.
And this will be up and running?
This one on the ancient coins runs till October 21st, and the Cityscapes runs until September 2nd.
Now, how many ancient coins do you have?
Oh, heavens. I couldn't even begin to tell you. There's a whole area full of coins, and this is our second coin show in a year.
Yeah. From what time period?
Most of these are from the first century.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So we're talking really.
We're talking old.
That is neat. And there are so many coins that you don't even know how many you have.
No, I don't really know how many we have.
So if people want to come to the Museum of Art and Archaeology, there are all kinds of good things
all
on
kinds
display.
Of good things.
Always.
Always.
And your hours of operation?
Tuesday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 4.
Okay.
And closed every Monday.
Right. Just like the Louvre. it's been a long time since you've been on here, and we need to get you back more often. And the one thing I used to ask you all the time, are you still doing that fundraiser for the mummy?
We'll always take money for a mummy. We're still collecting if people want to give us money.
But not enough for...
Not enough to get one here yet.
Okay.
So.
Are there any mummies on display?
No. Well, there's a hawk mummy. We do have a hawk mummy
that
is on display, and the kids really love seeing that. It's partially unwrapped, and you can see the beak and the feet.
Okay. So. Well, Bruce Cox, thank you so much
You're
for coming
welcome.
By. Museum of Art and Archaeology. It's always a pleasure to chat with you. Now if you're a gardener, you'll want to listen to this next segment very closely. Tim Reinbott, Bradford Farm, you're telling me that we have been invaded by the Japanese beetle now?
Yes. This beetle came to the United States in 1917 in New Jersey.
And it just made it to Missouri?
It's been in St. Louis for about 10 years, and now it's started to get into central Missouri. And it's really hit and miss whether you have them or you don't. Now, I don't have them in my house, and I hope you don't have them.
I don't
yours.
Think I do, but you know what? If you want to see what we're talking about, go to kbia.org, then click on talk shows and click on Radio Friends and watch this vodcast.
It's
Hold
a
it
very,
up here.
It's a very it's, metallic insect. It has a green head and copper body.
Uh-huh.
And it's a voracious feeder.
Well, it looks pretty.
It does. It was too pretty to get rid of. But
if you see those...
You need to...
You need to kill them.
You do. And picking them off and putting them in soapy water is a way to kill them. They're actually very easy to kill. The problem is there's just so many. We have a trap out so we can have a monitor that has a hormone in them, a pheromone. We get 10,000 a day.
Oh, no.
Yes.
At Bradford Farm, you're getting 10,000 a day.
Yes.
Now, what would happen? How would they multiply if you hadn't caught those 10,000?
Each female can lay about 40 eggs. during the season. So you can imagine what it's almost
exponential. And what does it do to the plant?
Oh, my goodness. They love roses. And when they feed on the leaves, they'll
okay,
just...
Okay, here's another. They, just watch this video.
Just skeletonize the leaf.
Now, see, I've seen leaves like this. Could it be from another insect?
It could be, but mass quantities like that. And they love to feed in the flower themselves.
Of the roses.
I would count up to 20 in each one sometimes.
Oh, my goodness.
And I noticed, I picked this one this morning. It had a very nice fragrance. I think they're attracted by certain fragrances.
Mm-hmm.
And this red rose was really fragrant. I've heard that lindenwood blooms, that they like those.
Now, do they get in the vegetable garden, too?
Yes, they sure will.
What do they like to eat?
Sweet corn, of all things. The silks on sweet corn,
mm-hmm.
They'll eat the silks before they have a time to pollinate, and you'll get barren ears.
What about other vegetables in the garden?
They pretty well go about after anything. They're just, you know, tomatoes, your...
You're getting me upset.
I know it.
Now, I started using this year, I had been using malathion as an insecticide,
uh-huh.
And I thought, and I've used it 3 or 4 years,
mm-hmm.
And I thought maybe the insects were getting used to malathion, mm-hmm. So I switched over to something that I thought it was a little more natural, which was pyrethrin.
That's correct. Uh-huh.
Is that as good?
It is, because exactly what you mentioned, malathion has been used for so many years that a lot of insects are resistant to it.
So pyrethrin is made from the chrysanthemum.
That's right. That's right.
But it doesn't have, if you spray it one day, and it says you can eat up to harvest.
Right.
I mean, you can spray up mm-hmm. to harvest time
mm-hmm.
because it's a natural product.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't hold for the next day.
That's correct.
It?
It's a contact killer.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so you have to, like the Japanese beetles here, you could knock them out that first day. And you may not have to spray it for the other 2 or 3 days, just
uh-huh.
scout them. And
well, what about the cucumber beetle that is so prevalent with zucchini? Will the pyrethrin work on the cucumber
beetle?
Yes,
it will. Yes, it will. Sure will. It's a very broad spectrum that way. But again, it's a contact insecticide.
When you say it's a contact, will it kill the insect an hour or two later, or does it have to be just when it's sprayed?
It has to be sprayed on the insect, and then it will.
Okay. But otherwise, if you spray it on the plant and just leave it and the insect goes crawling across it an hour later.
It may not. Yeah, it just depends.
Okay. Well, if people want more information on any of this, they can contact you at Bradford Farms.
That's correct.
University of Missouri. What's the web address?
Our phone number is 573-884-7945.
And you'll answer any questions
they have. Oh, I sure will.
All right.
Be happy to.
All right. Thank you, Tim Reinbotten. Come back again.
I will.
Let's see. Tomorrow, Missouri Hepatitis C Alliance, and we'll tell you about some Roachport events coming up. Our program directed by Travis McMillan of the Reynolds Journalism Institute. Audio, Pat Akers, KBIA. Our floor director is Danny Madison, and our assistant producer and guest coordinator, Uncle James Mauser. And to watch this program or listen to it again, go to KBIA.org. Bye-bye.